to Love Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your voice of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Thursday morning, June 14th, 2007. It's about 6:30 a.m., and good morning to everyone. Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments while on the air. At other times, you may call area code 903-551-2186 to leave a voice message. Of course, you may send us email to comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you'd like to instant message this station, even during the broadcast, we'll try to respond during the broadcast. You would simply go to AIM, Instant Message, and type in STB Internet Radio and send your message. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access broadcasts from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website at mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And the two is a numerical two. Here he discusses issues of economic importance from a macro and a microeconomic perspective. Very interesting. Get educated. Save your money. Okay. This morning we have just a potpourri of things, although we're going to end up with a discussion on global warming. We're not going to go in depth. Obviously, that's a subject that is impossible to put your arms around. But I have a few things for you. First, we have a quip. This is from George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians. And he says, anything we don't like about ourselves, we declare war on. We don't do anything about it. We just declare war. Declaring war is our only public metaphor for problem solving. We have a war on crime, a war on poverty, a war on hate, a war on litter, a war on cancer, a war on violence, and Ronald Reagan's ultimate joke, the war on drugs. More accurately, the war on the Constitution. Touche, absolutely correct, George Carlin. You hit the nail on the head. Thank you very much. I enjoy you very much. Secondly, there was an article in the American Institute of Economic Research, which I found absolutely fascinating. At the same time, it should concern us to a very high degree, because it may affect the way we live and may affect our economic condition. And it's scary. And it's entitled Retiree Health Benefits Dancing with the 800-Pound Gorilla. And this is in the June 4th, 2007 publication. And what it is talking about is, or what it addresses, is the fact that the local and state governments are not required to book unfunded liabilities. For example, a very good friend of mine recently retired as a fire marshal in Tulsa, and he now gets a regular pension, and it's quite a handsome pension. He was there for a long time, and he took extremely high risk to get where he is today. Now, truthfully, and he knows this, he's the one that tells me this, is that the life expectancy of a fireman and a fire marshal is very short because of all the exposure they have when they have to go in and do investigations. And many of his friends really had passed away in their 50s at a very, very early age. So they're being compensated accordingly, I suspect. But the point is this, is that he does make a very, very good pension. I mean, something that I can very, very easily live on very nicely. But that liability is not booked. The expense is booked in the current year. When they give him the money, you know, whatever he gets, the $50,000 a year or whatever, he then gets booked as a cash expenditure. However, next year's pension that they have already committed to is not booked. In other words, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist till after they pay it. And what this article is saying is that if all of the states, and by the way, this estimate's from the Cato Institute, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. If you take all of the unfunded liabilities of all the municipalities in the United States, you will find that on the low end, there is $700 billion not being booked. In other words, there is a liability of $700 billion that don't exist as far as anyone is concerned, but the states owe that money. Now, that's the low end. The Cato Institute has done their own independent analysis, and they come up with $1.4 trillion of unfunded liabilities, and if they were booked, they would render most of all the municipalities bankrupt. Now, here's the big problem. Remember in California, I believe it was in Orange County, when they found that they were investing in hedge funds and all this other stuff, and they just didn't have the money. What happened? Not only did they not have the money, but the bonds and the bondholders of that county took the loss. In other words, there was an isolated financial collapse of that bond market in that area. Right? Many, many people got hurt. If in fact if they did follow regular accountancy practice, or even if they had a disclosure and lifted off the balance sheet, but they disclosed this, the fear is, or the concern is, that their bond ratings would collapse. If their bond ratings would collapse, and we're talking about most, if not all, of the municipalities, right? They would be a national financial crisis. You can collapse the entire system when all of a sudden all of the municipal bonds issued in the United States, and I don't know what the amount is. It's got to be in the trillions of dollars, you know. All of a sudden became extremely high risk, and everybody wanted to cash in and get out before it was too late. It's similar to the stock market crash of 1929. Now, you can imagine if that would happen, what would happen economically in the United States, where municipalities no longer had the ability to borrow, had to pay back because they were too high risk, and all of the banks and all of the bonds outstanding started to feel the pinch. How would we get out of that? Well, you know, there's speculation we'd get out of it by just printing more money and flooding the marketplace. But I think that's an interesting point. What the states and municipalities must do is start booking this stuff realistically. And what they haven't been doing, and they probably should do, is what industry is doing. They're saying, you know, people today are retiring, and we can't afford to pay a retirement for this person for the rest of their lives. There is a person at General Motors, which is the extreme case here, that now I think has been retired for over 50 years, is like 100 and something years old, and still collecting a pretty hefty retirement. Well, back in the old days, you know, when you left General Motors, you were lucky to live to your 62, so they figured there would be very little exposure you know, to future liabilities. It didn't work out that way. Many of these people are living into their 70s and 80s and 90s and even over 100, and they're getting paid. And that's why General Motors no longer can be competitive in the marketplace. They are dropping the pension benefits plan, and now it's a defined contribution plan that they're going to, where people contribute their money, and then the company matches it. But once they match it, they have defined what their liability is, and it's over. Anyway, very, very interesting, and this should tie in well if you keep this in mind and if you listen to Andy Sutton's website on mytwocentsonline.com, tie that in. And you may want to ask him some questions when you listen to his program, okay? Interesting. All right, before we get into global warming, I'm compelled to answer an email. Unfortunately, it's a long email, but it's critical to our understanding of liberty. It's critical to the station that what we do here is we don't talk about Little Miss Mausner and her dog got lost and the police didn't care. I mean, all that other stuff that you see on TV, or what the latest presidential candidate said about the healthcare system and all the noise that you hear out there. What we are attempting to do here at Liberty Talk Radio, and by the way, let me repeat our number. We've already been broadcasting for 10 minutes. It's 646-652-4620. For you early birds, please call in. I'd love to talk to you, and we can chat for a while. That's 646-652-4620. If you're listening on a rebroadcast, it's 903-551-2186. You'll have to leave a message there, or please leave your messages at comments@libertytalkradio.com, and you can instant mail me during the broadcast or even after, and I'll get the email later. But that would be at STB Internet Radio. That's our address for instant messaging. Okay, now here it is. I'd like you to be patient and listen to the whole thing, because this is at the very core of libertarian principles of our Constitution, of our inalienable rights, of our freedom to choose. It touches on every single issue, and this email, it may just seem like a plain vanilla problem that we hear about every day, but it touches on every principle of libertarianism. Here it is. This is from Robert, and he's in Fort Pierce, Florida, and he says, this starts out quite tragic. A starving 10-year-old boy was out knocking on doors asking for food. Police were called in. The boy's condition was so bad that he was hospitalized. The article, which is available online at tcpalm.com, along with the stories about the redevelopment agency and the crime net, blah, 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 really builds a case for prosecuting the parent for child abuse. The mother was arrested and incarcerated, but eventually the rest of the details come out. She had a large number, 6 children, who were all in good health and not malnourished. The house was clean, but there was no food in the house. The story about the child was that he had just been returning in that condition 4 weeks earlier by his father from Haiti, which, as you may know, is the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Since that time, he wasn't able to eat. He had no money and no medical insurance. My question, as libertarians, is there any room for pragmatism in government involvement? What I mean is this. The county is now footing the bill, though that is subsidized, of about $60 to $70 a day to incarcerate the woman. The remaining children, I assume, have been confiscated and placed in foster care at probably another $100 per day. Pragmatism would say that since the government is going to get involved anyway, why don't they just pay the woman a fraction of the cost so that she could feed those kids? Right? I believe the libertarian position would be that government should not be involved at all, which I am in agreement with, but the way the situation was handled reveals to me what might be deeper motives to the government exercise of police power. Your comments, please. Wow. I read that and I said, boy, would I love for this email to go away. Maybe it was misdirected. It really should have gone to someone else. This is a tough one. And but the more I thought about it, and I'll be honest with you, I even called a friend of mine who's a guru libertarian, been very involved in the libertarian movement for decades, and we talked about this. Please bear with me on this response, because it's just too easy to say, yes, the government shouldn't be involved, you know, not my problem, you know, which is what I'd like to say, but that doesn't answer the question. And not that I'm not feeling towards the starving child, but let me put it this way. We are taking a situation, it's like starting a game in the fourth inning. You know, we already lost three innings or four innings or three and a half innings. You know, we're starting in the wrong place. The question is being placed at the wrong time. This is what we need to do. We need to garner all the facts. If this woman is in a house and there's absolutely no food in the house, but the children not malnourished, I'd ask, where's the food coming from? If in fact they're, why didn't she take in the sixth child or maybe seventh, which however we're counting here, and feed this child? There are too many questions that I have that would be pertinent to how we would respond to this. All right. Not knowing that, I'm going to make a few assumptions, and they're just assumptions. I'm going to assume that this woman is on some sort of federal assistance. If she has six children at home, right, and there's no food in the house, I would assume this woman is not well-to-do. She doesn't have her maid going out shopping every day to make sure the cupboard is full. So, first of all, we have a situation where someone was caught up into the system whereby they did not have to exercise their individual responsibility, because after child one, they were on welfare. After child two, they were on, let's forget about welfare. Let's call it, you know, public assistance. All right. The public then took responsibility for that child. Well, why not have two? Because if you have two, you get more, the public becomes more generous and pays for two. Now, you know that story. I don't have to drag that out through six children. So this woman most likely has been indoctrinated into the American socialistic system that says it's okay for you to do whatever the hell you want to do. It's okay to be irresponsible. It's okay to have tons of kids. It's okay not to get along with your husband, or whatever the case may be. And I'm not making judgments on her marriage at all, you know. But it's okay to do all these things because you have an out. Well, folks, let me tell you something, and you know this as well as I do. The only way to prevent anything like that from happening is when people know there's no out. Necessity becomes the mother of invention every single time. It's a natural course. It's a principle that adheres to every single event, every single consequence, every single occasion. So what we have here, if this woman, for example, said, well, if I have a child and I can't work because I have to take care of my child, I am going to starve. How many children would she have? Well, I suspect she may not have six or seven children, depending on how you do the arithmetic. I don't know if the sixth child was a child on the street or he was the seventh child. You know, so we ask the question, you know, when we're well into the game. We have to, if we're going to make up rules, you have to make up rules before the game. Now, obviously, in this situation, living in a welfare state, what are we going to do? Well, the welfare state dictates they're going to continue to make her payments. I can't comment on that. Do I agree with that? Absolutely not. Now, how would I fix it? Well, I would fix it in that anyone from this day forward would not be entitled to anything. All of a sudden, we indoctrinate people saying, fine, do what you want, but don't expect anybody else to pay for it. Would the state continue to pay for this woman? Probably so. I don't think we would do anything But that would wash itself out very, very quickly because kids tend to grow up, kids tend to leave home, kids tend to get jobs. Now, remember, these kids leave jobs, there's no more public assistance. They get a job. They can't go, well, I'm just going to, you know, have kids stay home and go on public. There is none. That system gets cleaned out in less than one generation. Now, I don't believe that there is any pragmatism whatsoever in government public assistance. Here we have an entity which can do absolutely nothing correctly. Nothing, folks. There is nothing the government has ever done that's been efficient, effective, and helpful. Never. And now we want to make it pragmatic by allowing the government to continue its socialistic agenda. Don't think so. You're not going to hear from this station. What you are going to hear from this station is that what is occurring now violates every single liberty principle in our Constitution. Self-determination. Individual responsibility. We are the most generous peoples in the world. Unlike, you know, Bill Clinton had to have that that special commemoration of Volunteer Day, which was all stupid smoke and mirrors. He, you know, he's interesting, but, you know, what garbage. I mean, he plays the game to the hilt. What garbage, you know, volunteerism, you know. We volunteer up to kazoo more than any peoples in the world. We didn't need him to have a program. We do it individually, you numbskull. So if we're the most generous people in the world, what would happen if we didn't have anything? What if we didn't have a government assistance? What do you think would happen? Well, first of all, we wouldn't have the situation we have now, but assume that we did. Now, do you think, now, understand now, our mindset now, we're in a neighborhood, you know, we're living in a community where there is absolutely no public assistance. You got to understand that. I'm changing all the beans in the cookie jar have just moved. Nothing's in the same place. We are living in a place where when you walk out, you're responsible for everything that you do. And there's no one to bail you out. No one. There's no state agency. Now, in that environment, you see a kid that's starving. What would you do? Would you say, sorry, there's no state agency, and I don't care, starve? No, you'd probably take that kid in. You take that kid in, and you'd probably feed that child and find out, Johnny, where do you come from? Where's your mom? Where's your father? Where's your, you know, where are your parents? Then the individuals in the community would probably take care of that child somehow, return it to its parent, find out what the situation is. And there may even be private agencies, whether they be religious or non-religious, many of them are church services, that would assist in that regard. But it would be voluntary. And all the cards are on the table. That's what would happen. And that's what should happen. Now, the mother being incarcerated for criminal neglect, and I assume that's what she was charged with, and I'm only guessing, right, was allowed to do that. Our government said it's okay. We'll pay, in fact, it's not only okay, but we'll pay you for it. So there was no individual responsibility. I'd say there is no pragmatism in government involvement. Because I don't want to pay for it, because I don't want those circumstances to ever evolve. And they evolved. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we ate up about 24 minutes of our broadcast, and we were supposed to talk about global warming. We will talk about global warming next time. I'm going to have to change the title of this to Charity and Pragmatism. Because we just don't have enough time to get involved in it. Well, let me try it anyway. All right. Well, I hope that answers your question. It says, I believe a libertarian position would be that government should not be involved. Absolutely correct, which I am in agreement with. But the way the situation was handled reveals to me what might be deeper motives to the government. I don't know about that. I don't know about I can't speak to the motives of the government. I can't speak only to the facts as they've been presented to me. Now, I don't have all the facts. Now, if we had all the facts, we may change our minds altogether. We don't know what it is. But it sure seems that back in the turn of the century, and I don't mean 2000, I mean 1900, this situation existed. They were Italian ghettos, Jewish ghettos, Irish ghettos in New York, and they were horrible places, a lot more horrible than the ghettos today that are state-subsidized housing. They're much nicer than the old ghettos of the old days. Hey, listen, I come from East Harlem back in the old days, Now, our place was really nice. I live right on First Avenue, really swell, Traffic and all that, I used to look out and count cars all day. My mother was always afraid. I used to sit on the windowsill. My mother was always afraid I was going to fall out. She got one of these little gates to put on the windows, so I wouldn't fall out. And I used to sit there all day just looking at all the cars going by when I was a little kid. So I didn't live in a countryside. I lived right on First Avenue, 123rd Street. I was born, I think, on 115th Street in Harlem. I know what those neighborhoods are like. And they weren't very pretty. But some of them weren't very pretty. Some of them were very nice. But there was individual responsibility. And we took that away. The government took our freedom away. When the government takes your responsibility and individual responsibility away, and your responsibility to be a decent human being, to assist your fellow person, when the government takes that away, by interceding, that's the cruelest of all legislation. We don't realize that. We think it's kind. It's incredibly cruel. Because we allow conditions to exist, and then we have the bureaucrats in Washington, in order to appear consciously benevolent, if you will, to provide more funding so that the situation not only perpetuates but exasperated. And that really bothers me. It is very difficult to answer a question such as this email when I know my audience has a mindset of how things are today, a mindset of how we think today, and the way we think today is not the way we're supposed to be thinking. And that's the reason for this radio station. If we thought differently, this would be very easy to answer. But we have to sort of detox the mind, deprogram the mind, and then answer the question. And that's very difficult to do, especially on the air. Let's see where we are. Well, we're almost... I'm going to have to retitle this. We did not talk about global warming whatsoever, a subject that I find fascinating, by the way. But this email was very, very, very important. I did commit to answering it, and it's not an easy thing to do. We have to start the ball game somewhere. And if we're going to make rules, let's make the rules and go forward, not jeopardizing the lives of people who played under the old rules. Let it flush out. Don't give it any more. Maybe make it a little tougher. Make them wake up. Get people out of there as soon as you can. They can. But change the rules. Okay, Robert, I hope that answers your question. We did not get any instant messages. We did not get any phone calls. I guess 6:30 in the morning, we very rarely do. I guess it's too early for people to call in, if they're listening at all. Because we get a lot of listeners, but not so much early in the morning. And of course, I don't expect many people to call in because if you look at the major radio stations, they have sometimes hundreds of thousands of listeners. And how many calls do they receive? Just a handful. So when I do get a call, I'm grateful for that. All right. Next Thursday, not this Sunday. This Sunday I'll be unavailable. But next Thursday, we will talk about global warming. I promise, and I will change the topic of this one. to libertarian principles.
Okay.
This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.